All right, if you can't hold your Bible up, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, our request of you is that you teach us now, lead us and guide us, and bring us into all truth. Cause us to comprehend, to understand your word so we can use it for every part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word, the things that you allow us to see, the revelation knowledge, the entrance of the word brings light, revelation, turning on the light bulbs to where we can see and be obedient to you, God. And through that obedience, we please you because we use our faith to be obedient. And without faith, it's impossible to please you. So, God, we thank you, Lord, that we will see things that we never saw before. Brand new things breaking forth for us. We cancel the assignment of the enemy for a second time. This word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. In Jesus' name, we declare it done. And everybody said, amen. Say this with me. See, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I wouldn't stop there. I'm also a doer of God's word. And because I am a doer and a hearer of the word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. Amen. All right, go ahead and be seated, please, and let's go in our Bibles. Go with me, please, to Isaiah 54 and verse number 17. I started here last time because I'm trying to set you up for victory. You are not a defeated individual. You are on top. You cannot be defeated if you use your faith. Even when it looks like you lost, you're a winner. I can't, you're going to have to write that. Yeah, could you work on sound? It sounds sort of hollow, they're saying. I don't think, could you check your speakers again to see if we've overrun those? Okay, you'll go ahead and make check on that. Yeah, I can hear on the monitors, but I don't know about the speakers. Okay, let's go Isaiah 54 and verse number 17. Now, let me just, I'm going to use a contemporary thing. And I know most of you don't want to hear about this kind of stuff because you're not interested in it. But as one that has other people following what I'm doing and saying, you know, those congregation members and their families, now you can hear me, right? You can't hear me. It's even worse, right? Okay, well, all right, now you can hear me. Yeah, okay. Sometimes these singers sing so good until the speakers can't take it no more. So, you know, we've been working on it, trying to get y'all conditioned. Anyhow, yeah, it's real. Amen, Rex. So what we have to do is to realize that fighting is part of living. Now, it's not supposed to be because our enemy is already defeated. The enemy has already been defeated out of your life. Did you hear what I just said? But it is important for you to know that fighting is part of the life of living, or part of your life in living, because you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Now, I'm going to use a contemporary example. I get sort of interested in things in the military because I grew up on a military base most of my life, my young life. And so that sort of turns me on. I like strength, I like winners. How many like winners? Anybody here like to be losers? Okay, no, I didn't think so. So you are a winner, you are not a loser. Please write that down. I am a winner, not a loser. Please write that down. I don't care who you are, where you came from, what your family like, and all of that kind of stuff. Say, I am a winner, not a loser. Say it again. Say, I'm a winner, not a loser. Can I ask a question? Did the worship and praise team leave to go sing in Spokane already? Because I don't know where they are. Do you know? Does anybody know what happened to the rest of them folks?
Okay. Thank you, Anaya. A little sassy there. Help her. Somebody help that girl. Janice, where's the rest of y'all, though? Okay. They're all up there. Never mind. I don't want to hear it. Okay, teaching parts, I guess. Okay. But you need to see this because now, based on what we saw in the Middle East so far, I'm just going to use that as something to understand how we fight. Because go with me to First Timothy. Keep your finger there at Isaiah 54:17. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. Look at what it says. 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, the only way you're going to win in any part of life is by fighting the good fight. A good fight is a faith fight because you always win. Even if you're fighting a fight of faith for your health, that's a good fight because you're fighting against sickness and disease, which in Acts 10:38, God says came from the devil. How God went about doing good, how Jesus went about through God, I mean God through Jesus, doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Oppression, depression, sickness, and disease does not come from God. It comes from the enemy. So if we're going to fight the good fight of faith, we have to learn how to fight. Now, we've just seen a very good example. Our military men and women of this country are just awesome. And the reason they are, clap your hands, everybody, because they're protecting you. And the reason they are is because we serve God as this nation's core. God is our commander in chief, ultimately in this nation. Now, I know we got crazy people, we got nasty people, we got stupid people, we got ungodly people, we got people that hate God. But in the core of this nation, the birth of this nation is Jesus Christ, is the Judeo-Christian belief in God. And that's what causes you to win, like David, like the children of Israel, like Joshua, like all of the different ones that had to win battles. Well, you're in a fight, whether you want to be or not. I never wanted to be in a fight. But I got in one fight when I was in junior high school, and I said, that's it. I'm going to learn karate. And you ain't going to mess with me no more. Because I was short, going along with my name. I was short, and I was sort of small. And so everybody thought, shorter is, shorter. Until I learned karate. And one guy was messing with me in band class. Y'all know the story. He was messing with, because I played drums, and he was a drummer too, Gary. His sister actually became one of our city councilmen. Gary and I was in band class, and he was teasing me along with some of the other drummers. And I had learned a thing called a side thrust kick. And he said it just at the wrong time, but the right time for me. And I gave that guy a side thrust kick. And I mean, I thrust that thing. And I knocked him over all the drums. And word went out throughout Lincoln High School, don't mess with Shawter. This is before they had the bang bang the guns, you know what I mean? They ain't bring no guns up in school back then. You know, so that was it. Shawter had been taking something. he knows how to just kick your rear end, so leave him alone. And so from that time on, I didn't have to fight no more. But see, you have to learn how to fight, and you got to watch what happened with this nation. And I'm not glorifying war, because war is hell. And we don't want to go to war. But what you want to do, if you got to fight, you better take out the enemy's counterattack before you finish with your attack. And so this is what Isaiah 54:17 does. Because it'll stay right here, though. 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. This is all spiritual. We are not talking about bang, bang, shoot, shoot, beat, beat. We're not talking about fighting like that. We're talking about fighting the good fight of faith, where we are using our faith to fight with. And we're not just using our thoughts. I think. Forget what you think. What did God say? We use his word and put faith in that. Now, I've given you three things. This is the third thing that I've given to you on how to enjoy 2026, rather, how to enjoy this life. I told you, number one, we need to please God, or else you're going to be begging, please, God. So please him, so you don't have to beg, please, God, help me. Second thing I gave to you is to learn obedience. Jesus had to learn obedience. Obedience is not something that we're born with, or else we wouldn't be so bad as a little baby. Taking things, throwing stuff, and as a little kid growing up, looking around to see if anybody's seeing if you grabbing them cookies. We have foolishness bound up in our heart as a child. God doesn't want us to live like a fool. But we do that because we haven't learned obedience. We had to learn that you're not going to do that and get a reward for it. We had to learn how to be obedient. And some of us are so rebellious, we think that that's the way to live. And without correction, we will live our lives to our own detriment by living outside of obedience. And the third thing that we're working on right now, if we're to live the way God wants us to in 2026, we're finishing this up at the end of this quarter, which is the end of this month, it says, have faith in God. So we're learning to be in obedience. We're learning to be able to have faith in God and to be able to please God. Those three things equal like a formula that will cause your life to be blessed in so many ways. Don't leave anything out in those three areas. Don't please God in one area and not the other. Sell out to God and please God in everything. If you're going to please God with your money. Please God with your obedience to his word. Please God with your service to him. Please God with your attendance to church. Please God with everything. If you're going to be obedient in all areas. Don't cherry pick your obedience to where you don't mind being obedient with this, but this other area, you're not going to be obedient. You're just going to be really just stiff-necked about that. God wants you to be able to be a happy and obedient person. In fact, we looked at, of course, Isaiah 1:18. If you be willing, and 19, if you be willing, sounds like a foreign language, and obedient, you shall consume the best the land has to offer. I don't know about you. I have been poor and I've been rich, and rich is better. I have been sick and I have been well. Well is better. I have been depressed and I've been happy. Happy is better. Why live a life in misery when there's a formula for living where Jesus came to give you life in it more abundantly? And some people are not living life. They're the walking dead. I look at some people and I say, you are not alive. There is nobody inside there. You look like a ghost. Because there's no life. Jesus came to give us life, and it to the full till it overflows. Amplified version. To give us life in it more abundantly. Where is the abundant life? I'm saying to believers, you look dead. Why would anybody want your Jesus? You look like you can't stand him. Why in the world would you want to do this? Why? How? You are supposed to be a walking, animated billboard for God. Who wants your Jesus when he does you like you look like he's doing you? We got to have the joy of the Lord. It's not only our strength, but it'll strengthen others. So it's important for us to be able to learn how to live by faith. Because number one thing, I don't know how anybody feels good not pleasing God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you want to be pleased, you really should please God. Say amen to that. I think I'm preaching harder than y'all saying amen. You know, let me hear another amen. Really, come on, this ain't the Frozen Chosen. I want to hear amen. Come on. Say it so they can hear you on 112th Street. Say amen. That's not even getting to the parking lot, but that's okay. I'll take it. About the best we can do, I guess, today. But see, it's serious about this. We need to have faith in who? Have faith in who? Have faith in God. Having faith in God means that you are not worried. Now, in order to not be worried, especially if we're fighting the good fight of faith, we're not fighting with sticks and clubs and billy clubs and guns and knives and you know, come on now, nunchucks and stuff. We're not doing that. We're fighting the good fight of faith. Well, the good fight of faith will defeat stick clubs, billy clubs, knives, nunchucks, all that stuff. Now you say, well, Pastor, that's not what happened, because I started praying when that guy was swinging that thing at me. I don't think that works, Pastor. Now listen, you got to pray before you get there. See, you don't start, oh Lord, he's coming at me with the baseball bat. No, that's too late. You should have been praying before you got there, and you never would have been in front of him. See, because the Lord would have guided you. You wouldn't be in front of that idiot. A lot of stuff that we go through is preventable. Now, I'm very serious about this. The steps of a good man are what? Okay, have you ever ordered a pizza? You tell them exactly what you want. You don't want anchovies, and you want sausage, pepperoni, thick crust, extra cheese. I know, it's lunchtime, I better quit. But serious, you order, God will order your steps. Now, if you know that God is ordering your steps, I'm trying to give you some faith right now. Because if you know if God has ordered your steps and God is sending you there, he is not going, if he wanted to have you dead, he'd have left you with the devil. He's not here to harm you. He's here to help you. So you have to know that if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, that faith fight is a good fight, because every faith fight you will win, because you can't lose with God's word. Because that's what we put our faith in, to be able to fight this faith fight. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were able, Paul, and he's telling others, he's telling Pastor Timothy, also, you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, you gotta say something too. If you're gonna have faith, it's gotta come out of your mouth. That's the first place we know you have faith from. Because you're going to say, I believe, I receive, so-and-so. I believe. Don't go around telling people, I believe I'm sick. Now, that's a true statement, and you probably are, if you're saying that. You're probably sicker than you think. But anyhow, no, just kidding on that part. But you, if you say, I'm sick, you are not saying what you want to be, which is well. That's not a confession, to say that you're sick. The confession is to say what God says you are. That by his stripes you were, in one place it says, and then in another place it says, you are healed. You're supposed to say what he says, not what you feel. Because you may feel sick, but that's not what we say, not to please God with faith, because that condition already is. And having faith in God, faith is the substance. It is the material of the things hoped for. Are you hoping for more sickness? Then why would you have faith that I'm sick? You are hoping for, believing for healing or health. So we speak those things that we are not as though they were. That's how God talks. God was so sure that you would accept him and be saved, he had that much faith that he had his son die 2,000 years earlier than what you needed him for. Jesus didn't wait until you said, now I need Jesus, to go jump on the cross. God had faith that you would give your life to Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and then you met his faith. He knew if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. not unto Pastor Shorter, not to Reverend Dr. So-and-so, but he draws them to himself. You didn't come here for me. You came here for Jesus and for his word. Now watch this. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good. Well, Pastor, I'm not supposed to fight. Yes, you are. If you don't fight, he's not going to stop fighting. The enemy will not give up just because you lay down your arms. You got to understand, you're fighting a nut. The devil is crazy. He doesn't even know he's lost. He has been defeated, but he still keeps fighting. He's like somebody still fighting the Korean War on Hawaii. You know, he's on the island of Hawaii. He's still looking for military men to shoot. He's from Korea. He's from Japan, rather. He's from Japan. He's running around all over the place. And he's looking for people. The war is over. You've already lost. Japan is no longer an enemy. We just had the prime minister of Japan up in the White House, sitting there eating cookies and crumpets, whatever. We are not enemies with Japan any longer. Put your guns away. But the enemy doesn't know how to do that. He's going to fight to the end. And the way he fights is by getting God's people. Because the enemy does it like this. Have you ever been mad at your parents because they sent you to your room? So you ain't getting no dinner tonight. I don't approve of that, but anyhow, you ain't getting no dinner tonight. I'm eating my dinner. I don't know what I'm eating. But anyhow, yeah, and they're going to eat too. I don't believe that you should abuse your children, not give them dinner. But that's what they used to do back with the Leave It to Beaver days. You know, back when you know, Ward and Wally and all those guys was around. But anyhow, so go to your room. You're getting no dinner. You go in your room, you sit there. Oh, man, these parents. Who created parents anyhow? I can't stand parents. Are you a parent? I can't stand them. Oh, these parents. There's your teddy bear. I'd like to punch my parents in the face right now. You know, you're 14 years old. No dinner. Go to your room. There's my teddy bear. He's looking so happy. Pull his eyes off. Throw him across the room. Take his ears. You're the teddy bear. He can't get to God. So he tries to get to the little cute little things down here smiling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shut up. I put sickness on you. I'll take your money from you. I'm going to curse you. I'm coming against you. I'm going to deceive you. That's what he wants to do. You're still fighting. World War II is over. Korean War is over. Vietnam is gone. World I is gone. All these wars are over, but the enemy is still fighting. So whether you want to fight or not, you better learn how to fight. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against getting to know God, and bringing into captivity every thought through the obedience of Christ. The battle is in your brain. It's in your mind. It's where the enemy submits words that counter God's word. So fight the good fight of faith. You got to start thinking right. You got to start speaking right. You got to start reading the right thing, hearing the right thing. You hear what the world hears, you're going to be defeated. See, and this is what people don't realize. The enemy can defeat you if you let him. You can be defeated. You can be taken out if you let the enemy do it. But you have to do what Isaiah 54:17. Let's go there real quick. I got about 4 minutes left. Let's go right there. Isaiah 54:17. Let's go. Come on. Quick. Look what it says. No weapon. Why would you need to even concern yourself with this if there's nobody attacking you? See, and you're valuable. You got to say, I told you last week, you are somebody. You are somebody. See, and that's why I dress the way I do. I'm dressed because I'm somebody. I don't know who's going to see me. But, you know, I've been on television since I was 18 years old. So, you know, people always, oh, aren't you the... So, you know, I try to present myself as an upstanding citizen first. And, of course, as a believer in God, an upstanding citizen of the kingdom first and foremost. But, you know, I try to present myself because we never know, my wife and I, because we're on television. And for me, I've been on television all my life, but my adult life. But you need to realize that you're an example for people to be able to follow. You're an influencer. You should check our even here at the church. We ain't following nobody. We're not following influencers. Our biggest influencer is Jesus Christ. Why I need to follow somebody else? I'm following him. And people got all these people they're following. I'm following so-and-so. I ain't following nobody but Jesus. And Paul said it, follow me as I follow Christ. Why would you follow all these idiots? Half of them from Hollywood don't know what in the world they're talking about. I worked with these people. I was in that business. What are you talking about? They're nuts. They're stupid. And it's just that they're ignorant. I mean, and I don't mean that in a negative way. They just don't know. Nobody has told them, and they haven't accepted it if they have been told. So God says no weapon. See, you've got to get to the point where the word of God, and when this happens, I don't know when it's going to happen for you. When you finally get to the point that what you read, if you read it out of the word of God and God breaks it down for you, help you to be able to believe it, you are done. Ain't nothing changing me from that. When you get to that point, this ain't going to be church no more. This is going to be a life. You're coming to receive more life. You're not coming to just hear a preacher preach some words. When this becomes where no weapon formed against you shall prosper is real. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You're going to know I can't just use my words any kind of way. I believe that. I ain't just no saying. I'm not just reading no scripture. I'm not just coming to church and saying something. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you use that, that becomes a force field around you. But the dude with the baseball bat, he'd go somewhere else. You never even knew he was there. That's what I'm saying. You praying too late. Oh, God, he's got a baseball bat. Now, you should have had your pistol first. No, I'm just kidding. But you... Rock, scissors, paper. I think that rock takes out those scissors and paper. Just kidding. You know I'm kidding. Sort of. But I mean it. You should get to the point where this word is so real that you, somebody sitting in your seat on Sunday morning is like, excuse me? That's my seat. I don't see your name. Yes, you see my imprint, don't you? That's my seat. You see that looks like me? That's where I sit. What are you talking about? Get on. You got to find somewhere else. Get a chair out there. Listen in the foyer. It'll be online at 3:00 today. Don't worry about it. See, you got to get to the point where the word is so powerful. You ain't playing with nobody. You ain't playing with that. Man, tell me, what time is it? Well, we're going to be meet Sunday morning at about 11:30 in the morning. I ain't. What do you mean you ain't going to meet? I can't be there. Why can't you be there Sunday morning at 11:30? Everybody's free then. I'm not. What are you doing then? I have specialized training. I'm going through a special course that will last through eternity. I can't miss one class. No, I'm learning how to fight. So I avoid the dude with the sticks, the BB guns and the billy clubs, nunchucks and all the rest of that stuff. Fight, I'm using this as a very practical thing. Fight the good fight of faith, but no weapon formed against you. You got to know that first. See, this, praying this, knocks out the counterattack. And what we need to do is knock out the counterattack before we attack. And this is what the United States of America just did. Great example. See, this is the first time in modern history, well, this is the first time in history, really, that we've been able to see piece by piece with video. They got so much video archives of this attack that happened that is not released yet because we're still in the battle. But you give it about 2-3 years after this is over, we're going to be able to see the awesomeness of what it's like to fight and win. See, I don't like just fighting. I like fighting to win. I don't like to fight to a draw. I like to, you know, we know who the winner is. So God made you a winner. You are not a loser. If you are hearing my voice, God has called you to be a winner. I don't care who you watch lose. I don't care if it has to do with your health, has to do with your money, has to do with your relationships, has to do with your marriage. God called you to be a winner. He wouldn't have you hearing from a winner like me to be able to fail in life in Jesus' name. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't have you waste your time. You're up in here because God wants you to become more of a winner. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, every tongue that rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Well, I don't want to talk about nobody. Then let them just talk about you and, you know, make you look like a fool. See, because I don't worry about what you say, because I've already canceled it before you said it. I don't care. I don't care what you say, because this is a prayer. This ain't just a word that I preach. This is a prayer. We pray this in our prayer guide for this church. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And I believe it. You have to believe it. If you don't believe it, you can't even please God with it. It becomes your faith. It becomes your life. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now, I'm not stupid. I know people got guns and knives and words and all kinds of stuff that they want to come against you with. I know that. People, lawsuits and all kinds of dumb junk. But I pray against that before we get there. I used to be waiting until it happened. Well, let's go pray now. Is it that bad? Yeah, we got to go pray. What's wrong with that statement? You should have been praying a long time ago. You should have already covered yourself. You should have never even had to get to that place. Oh, Lord, my time is up. Did y'all get something out of this? Listen, come on, give God some praise in Jesus' name. Let's make a confession. Stand up, let's make a confession. Come on, let's get you somewhere. Say, I am. Somebody. Y'all sound like I am somebody. I don't know who I am. I'm somebody. No, say it like you mean it. Say it like a soldier. Say, I am. Say it again. I am. Somebody. Say, I am. Victorious. I am God's warrior. I use my faith to fight the good fight of faith. Say it again. Say, I am. Say it louder than that. I can hear this side, but can't hear this side this time. Say, I am. One more time. I am. Somebody. I use my faith to defeat sickness and disease. I am somebody. Depression has no victory over me. I am somebody. So angels go before me and make the way for my path. I am somebody. So the Holy Spirit gives me commands and tell me where I should go. I am somebody. So I please God using my faith. Thank you, God. You made me to be somebody in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, everybody.